This is Shuffle, your backstage pass to Northeast Ohio's music scene. I'm Amanda Rabinowitz. A Cleveland experimental jazz ensemble is releasing its pandemic-delayed second album. Guitarist Dan Bruce's Beta Collective features many of the region's top improvisational musicians. For this week's Shuffle, we hear about the group's evolution and sound. After making a name for himself in Chicago's jazz scene, guitarist and composer Dan Bruce and his family relocated to Cleveland in 2018, shortly after his group Beta Collective released its first album. He connected with a handful of well-known jazz performers here to keep the group going. He says the music strikes a balance between composition and improvisation.
You can go from something where we're obviously playing something that's, you know, very worked out, and then that can suddenly release into the people in the band don't know what's happening next. And then somebody, a horn player, just decides to do something and we go there. To me, that's the most exciting thing as a performer. And as I've gotten older and older, it's like, I realize I also just want people to like the music without having to understand it. I want it to make them kind of groove. And I'm not saying that I'm trying to tone down what I want to put out there, but I realized that there are ways I can do it. And to me, a big thing was I just started telling myself I'm going to make it rhythmically relatable. So I try as much as I can not to hide the pulse of the song, even if what's happening above it is really complicated. My hope, and I think what I've found is it makes it a lot more easily accessible if you can kind of tap your foot or kind of at least keep in line with the pulse that we're feeling on stage. The beginning of this group was actually in Chicago. I had formed the group, and our first album is Chicago Musicians. I'd put out that album and almost immediately moved. It just kind of worked out that way. So the tour that actually supported that, the first album of Beta Collective, ended up being half Chicago Musicians and half Cleveland Musicians, which was really cool.
That's the album Earthshine.
Yes.
Yeah.
And at that point, it was a sextet. But on that tour, on parts of that tour, was Theron Brown, Chris Coles from around here. But then also, you know, trumpet was Chad McCullough from Chicago. There were a few other Chicago people from that. And just a lot of Chicago-Cleveland connections there. So it became a nice stepping stone into... Then when I was here full time, there were already a number of people that had played the music, and I was able to kind of fill in. And I also right away wanted to expand the group a little, so I added trombone. I'm trying to get as many sounds as possible out of the people I have without having a 20-piece group, because that's ridiculous or, you know, very hard to manage, I guess. So Chris Coles will do alto, will play tenor. I've got him now on vocoder, where he's doing vocoder on stuff, and I write it like a horn, or I'll write lyrics and he'll be singing. Theron will do keyboard, he'll do acoustic piano, he'll do melodica. Brad Wagner, soprano, alto, tenor saxophone, bass clarinet. I can sit down at home and kind of visualize, or in my own head, I can hear so many different textures that it's just very inspiring when I'm trying to write. And then I have all my different effects, and I can kind of try to make the guitar sound like whatever I want. So it's been really fun to try and just think kind of like soundscapes.
So how do you approach your composition? I know each song has a story, right?
Yeah, to some degree, yeah. And it doesn't always start with the story. Sometimes it kind of fits afterwards. But sometimes I think I tend to think of like a film soundtrack, or I try and think of a scene or a setting, and then I try and match that with a feeling, and then I maybe go from there.
I know that you use a lot of effects, and it really creates such a cool vibe. It's a different sound.
Yeah. Yeah. I think for me, I love being able to change my sound from song to song and to have something that can, I think, maybe better go along with the vibe of the song that we're about to play. I'm listening more for colors, at least initially, like broad swaths of color than even really the details of the music when I'm hearing music for the first time. So as a composer and a performer, I love the idea of a group that can kind of morph and have different colors come out and kind of surprise you, or even from piece to piece, the color can be vastly different.
I totally feel that. It takes you on this wild journey. You don't know what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
Talk about the new album.
Okay, so I'm really excited about it. I'm sure you've heard this story a number of times, but we were set to go into the studio in the first 3 months of COVID. So that
sounds very familiar.
Yeah, so that didn't happen. Yeah. But we had been playing the music a decent amount. So I kind of sat on it for a while, obviously. And my joke to some people was it became my pet sounds to some degree, because I started thinking, well, I could add this, or I could add this, or what about this? So in some ways, it became a little more like a rock album, where I did think about some things we could layer in post-production. Mm. During COVID, I got a little more into electronic music, and I was programming stuff in Ableton Live and some software programs. So a couple of the tunes have where we went in post after we had done the acoustic playing of it and put on top some electronic stuff. We had been playing this music for a long time, and it had really been, I'm very glad for that, because I think when I write, my writing is a starting point. And then I put that in front of these musicians. And the reason I like to play with these musicians is because every time we play the song, it grows a little, and maybe the boundaries get pushed a little. Mm. And then after we've been playing it for a while, parts of it will become something new.
So it's called Time to Mind the Mystics.
Yes.
Tell me what that means.
A few of the songs came out of this idea, and eventually it kind of grew to become the concept of the album. I'm very interested in the last few years, but probably for a long time, in the idea of technology and looking forward and how that can interact with holding on to our past. Technology is starting to scare me a little. I'm very into technology, and there are wonderful things. I think that for everything that we embrace, it should be in support of our humanity. Hmm. And I worry that new technology is just being presented and implemented without any of those conversations. And I'm a little scared that people like Mark Zuckerberg are creating a metaverse that they can see my children living in and socializing in more than my children, you know, going to see a play or playing with other kids face to face. And you know, I'm not anti-technology at all, and this album has a ton of technology on it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
For me, the ideal is, at least musically, we're using this technology in hopes that if you come and see us live, and I talk about this a lot in the shows, you're actually sharing your humanity with us. And by humanity, I mean like the expression of what we have that no other species on Earth has. I mean, our humanity is the one thing that we're not animals, you know? And I think the way that you get to that is going to see a play, or going to see a poetry reading, or going to see live music. And I worry a little that, you know, myself included, we get caught up in the day-to-day, work a job, you're tired, you go home, you put on Netflix, and, you know, and then I worry that that's what our children see. The idea is kind of putting work in its place and keeping technology as a supporting role to us being human together.
And do you think that listeners can feel that theme throughout the album? Does that come across?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I think they'd have to read some of the liner notes. Oh. But I think if you've read some of that, it can be interesting. To me, the first song, Time to Mind the Mystics, the title track, is the ideal. And to me, that song is just like how excited I am to be alive. Just music and the magic of all of this. And it's hard to express because I feel like a little kid. It's just like, but I hope that tune does that. And I think it does. And that tune uses a lot of, you know, it's got synths on it. It's got a lot of, I'm playing through a ring modulator, which ends up sounding like a robot half the time. But to me, that song is supposed to be the ideal kind of pairing of the two. To kind of juxtapose that, there's a song later on the album, Slant. This was coming out of 2016 and maybe feeling like my country was not what I thought it was and just all the division. And so the idea became everybody kind of has a different slant on things or a different take on things. And we're starting to hold on to those so much that we can't interact with each other. That kind of developed into this idea of humans. I mean, we all, I think, know that we have a need for human connection, but I think more and more our world doesn't make that obvious to us. It's very easy to go through a week and then realize you forgot about that. Mm-hmm. You went to work, you went home, you watched TV, you did it again. And I think, so I started thinking about lyrics for that song. And I wrote a bunch of lyrics, and the idea is the person singing is a therapist, and the person that has come to them is sad because they can't figure out how to connect with other human beings. Mm. Then I took that whole thing and set it in a not too distant future, and the therapist is an algorithm. So to me, it's just kind of the dark humor of somebody going to speak with an algorithm about how to better connect to humans.
Wow.
But I could see us not being that far from that, where your therapist is, you know,
wow,
presented by Facebook. And, you know, the lyrics also are not necessarily meant to be easily understood through the vocoder and everything, but you can tell a robot is talking, kind of is the idea.
So what's next for Beta Collective? You have the album coming out. Is there going to be, are there going to be some shows? What's going on?
Yeah. So there's the big release show, and then I'm doing kind of this, you know, trying to bug everybody for press and all that stuff. I know we're doing the Rubber City Jazz Festival, which is early September. And then I'm currently putting together some kind of small tours regionally for the fall. Part of this CD release, I've been, one thing I always wanted to do was arrange music for vocals. We did a concert with the vocalist Celine Iris a couple months ago at the Bop Stop, and I just asked her songs she likes to sing, and it was interesting. It ended up being a couple Beatles tunes,
wow,
a tune by Cream, that Eric Clapton band, and then some jazz standards, but I just completely rearranged them and just tried to make them very different and just kind of however they spoke to me. And that was a lot of fun. And we have, we're doing kind of a rotating vocalist right now. So part of this album release, we'll be highlighting the vocalist Alyssa Boyd, a vocalist from Cleveland. Mm. And she'll be doing some of these arrangements of mine. And I think of that as a little bit of a sneak peek of probably the next phase of the band. Or my thought is there'll be the band doing our instrumental stuff, and then I think I'm going to call it Beta Plus, and it'll be with vocals.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you very much for having me.
That's Dan Bruce of the Cleveland Ensemble Beta Collective. You can find links and more at wksu.org/shuffle. I'm Amanda Rabinowitz. Thanks for joining us.